In your Bibles this morning to Psalm 51. My text you will find in verse 10 of Psalm 51. May I remind you that the purpose and ministry of the church is to win the lost to Christ. As you leave this morning, on the table in the front, there are some little cards that will help you to share Christ with your friends and neighbors this week. I trust that you'll take some of them and do just that. Then, tonight at 7 o'clock, Daniel chapter 3. The three who would not bend, nor bow, nor burn. Daniel chapter 3 is one of the most fantastic stories that I've ever read. Just to be honest with you, if it weren't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. I want you to hear the message tonight on Daniel chapter 3. In the 51st Psalm, I read verse 10. But first, a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for the gospel of redeeming grace, for our own individual and personal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, as we read the Word, as we expound upon the Scriptures, we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through us to this congregation. And if there are those who do not know the Lord Jesus, may they come to know Him. If there are those who in their hearts have grown cold and indifferent and calloused and unconcerned, may this day find them on their knees about the altar in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10. The psalmist prays in this chapter, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I would like for you to read that aloud with me as your Bible is open to Psalm 51 and verse 10. Let us read it aloud together. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I hope that this will be the prayer from the heart of every person here today. A few years ago, the former president, Lyndon Johnson, in the Rose Garden at the White House, speaking to a group of Baptists, said this, and I quote, "A change in men's hearts is the only remedy for the discontent and disorder of our society." And I agree. In these days, we are hearing much about what's wrong with our society, because there's a great deal wrong with our society. In my way of thinking, according to my viewpoint, I believe our society is bankrupt politically, morally, educationally, spiritually, religiously, in almost every phase of social life. We are a bankrupt society. But the main thing that's wrong in society is the men, the people who make up society. And the only way that we can change society is to change men. Now, you don't get rid of mites off of chickens by plucking them out of their feathers. You've got to go deeper. If your watch has stopped, or your clock, you don't work on the hands. The trouble lies deeper. So the trouble with men today is in the heart. And in order to change our society, we've got to change men. And to change men, we've got to change their hearts. And to change their hearts, they must undergo a spiritual birth. Amen. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Now you can take a pig out of the hog sty, wash him down, dress him up, perfume him, bring him in the parlor, tie a ribbon around his toes, his feet, his neck, put earrings on him, turn him loose, he'll go right back to the sty. You know why? Because you haven't changed his heart. He's still a pig. Doesn't matter how you dress him up on the outside. Now you can do a man that same way. And he will return to his old way of life if he doesn't have a change of heart. My message this morning is entitled, "Don't Look Now, But Your Heart Is Showing." Don't look now, but your heart is showing. First, don't look now because your heart is showing what kind of religion you have. Oh, there's so many kinds of religion. Religion comes in every shape, form, size, and degree that you can imagine. When I think about it, I think about Heinz 57. There's so many varieties. Let me share some of them with you this morning. I know a lot of people who have peg leg religion. Now, you've known people that had peg legs. They used to make them in the wood shops at home. Fella got his leg cut off. Why, he just went down the street and somebody made him a peg leg. He strapped it on and hobbled around the best he could. But the peg leg has no warmth. No feeling, and it never became a part of the man. And you know, a lot of people have got religion like that. Why, they get up on Sunday morning and strap on their peg leg religion and hobble off to church, but they have no warmth, no heart, no feeling, no soul, and their religion never becomes a part of them. A lot of people have got peg leg religion. Then there are a lot of people in the world today that have got Brill Cream religion. A little dab will do you. And this is the devil's favorite brand of religion. Just a little bit. Just a little Brill Cream. Because the devil knows if he can vaccinate a man with a little religion, he's immune to an old-fashioned case of salvation. My doctor calls me every fall and says, "You ought to come in and get your flu shot." He says, "What I put in your veins is a germ that will keep you from having an old-fashioned case of the flu." A lot of people have been inoculated, vaccinated with a little bit of religion, and they don't stand a chance of having an old-fashioned dose of salvation. Now, there are those who have war religion. I'm old enough to remember World War II. And I can remember that when the days were dark for the Allies, that my dad's church would be running over. You couldn't even seat the people. They'd be hanging out the windows, literally. War religion. Let me say something to you this morning. If last night Los Angeles had been bombed or New York had been bombed, we couldn't hold the people on this block that would have come to this church this morning, scared to death. I ask you, is it going to take war? And you, I hope, will not misunderstand this. I pray God, if it takes war, send war to get America on her knees. Amen. War religion. Then there are a lot of people that have got sickness religion. Why, they get so religious when they get sick. They call for the preacher. They want somebody to hold their hand, read the Bible to them, and pray to them. And as soon as they get up, they'll at least come to church once. Sickness religion. And all the family might even come with them. Sickness religion. And then there are a lot of people that got depression religion. You remember the days of the depression, don't you? Oh boy, listen, not only did bread lines form, but church lines formed back in those days. I'm just about old enough to remember that. You won't misunderstand me when I say that I pray if it takes depression to bring a revival to America, God give us depression. Amen. You see, those of us who are on the bottom rung of the ladder, we won't have far to fall. Depression religion. Then there are a lot of people who have convenience religion. Oh, they go to church when they don't have anything else to do. Just when it's convenient. Oh my God, help us in America today. Help us in this modern age. In days of old, they talked about crosses. Today we talk about cushions. In days of old, they talked about dying. Today we talk about living. In days of old, they talked about giving. Today we talk about keeping. Convenience religion. Then there are those in the world today who have a profit-making religion. They go to church and they are religious only because of what it means to their pocket. Oh, I think if a man goes to church for that reason, he ought to go broke before another Sunday ever comes. Profit-making religion. Beloved, what we need is a heart religion. Amen. The old-time, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost, amen, life-changing, heartfelt, no-so salvation. Amen. Something you can feel about 6 inches down under your collarbone. That's what we need today, a heartfelt. For you see, it takes more than a head knowledge of Christ to be saved. A lot of people know that Christ lived at one time almost 2,000 years ago. But beloved, salvation is an inside job. It takes place in the heart. Paul said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. You see, the kind I'm talking about is the kind that goes in your ear and up to your brain and down in your heart and out of your mouth. Amen. Old time salvation. Heart religion. Like the old Irish lady said, it's better felt than telt. But when you got it, you can feel it and tell it, brother. Amen. And that's what it's all about, is sharing Christ with somebody else. I asked you this morning, what if every member of this church had just brought one other person, had just shared Christ just once with somebody else this week? What it would be like today? Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips. Hey, I left out one, lip religion. Oh, there's some people that could talk you all the way into heaven. Lip religion. And they know nothing about Christ and nothing about the Bible and nothing about salvation. Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Bible says you are to seek God with all your heart. The Bible says you are to love God with all of your heart. The Bible says that you are to serve God with all your heart. I fear today there are too many people who have a divided heart. And to have a divided heart means to have divided loyalties. And to have divided loyalties means to have divided love. And to have divided love means to have divided service. And divided service means to have divided worship. Divided hearts. Like the fellow in the Civil War, couldn't make up his mind which side he wanted to be on. So he put on a blue coat and a gray pair of trousers. And you guessed it, he got shot at from both sides. Divided hearts. Let me say this to you with all of the earnestness of my soul. With all that I can muster as your spiritual leader, as your pastor, as your preacher. Hear me when I say it. If your brand of religion hasn't done something for your heart, I recommend you change brands. If your religion won't take you to church, how in the name of God will it ever take you to heaven? If your religion won't send you out to witness for Christ and share Him, how can you ever stand and tell me that you're saved? If you don't share anything, it says to me you don't have anything to share. I repeat, if your brand of religion hasn't done something for your heart, I recommend you change brands. Because salvation is a heart matter. Don't look now, but your heart is showing what kind of religion you have. P.S. Don't look tonight at 7, because surely your heart will show what kind of religion you have. Don't look Wednesday night at 7:30, for sure your heart will show the kind of religion you have. Don't look now, but your heart is showing the kind of life that you're living. The most celebrated organ in the body is the heart, just about the size of the fist, beating 70 times a minute, 4,200 times an hour, 100,000 times a day, 40 million times a year, 2.5 billion times in an average lifespan, pumping 5 or 6 quarts of blood 100,000 miles over your body. If just the energy of the heartbeat of 12 hours could be concentrated, it would lift 65 tons a foot off the ground. I repeat, the most celebrated organ of the body is the heart. But beloved, the heart spiritually is more than a muscle about the size of your fist, weighing 3/4 of a pound. Did you know that more poems have been written about the heart than any other subject? More songs, more research, more fussing and fighting and killing and war and strife and discord concerns the heart than anything else. Here's a young man, he's dating a little girl. He thinks he has her heart, and somebody comes along and steals it away. Fussing and fighting and feuding over the heart. Here's a guy whose lover rejects him, and he sits down and writes one of these forlorn songs about how much his heart is aching. I'm talking to you about the heart this morning. Don't look now, but your heart will show the kind of life you're living. The Bible has a whole lot to say about the heart. It is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man upon the earth was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil only, continually. The Bible declares in 1 Samuel 16:7, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. You see, when God measures a man, he doesn't put the tape measure around his head. He puts it around his heart. Amen. It is written in Jeremiah 9:17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is written in Matthew 12:35, Jesus said, out a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Jesus said in Mark 7:21, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Don't look now, but your heart is showing the kind of life that you're living. The wise Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you've ever had an EKG, electrocardiogram, made of your heart, you know that they strap you down on the bed. Put a little thing right here, and put a little thing right here, and put a little thing right here, and put a little something on each leg. The worst thing about it is when he puts that cold salve on your naked body. But then the doctor looks at a little instrument over here, and a graph is made from that electrocardiogram that shows every beat of your heart. Every beat of your heart. But you know, when the doctor gets through, he doesn't know any more about what you're thinking about than when he started. All he sees is that muscle beating 70 times a minute. The graph. Somebody says, well, wouldn't it be wonderful? What would it be like if we had something that would record and discern our thoughts? We do. There's a heavenly electrocardiograph that's made of your heart right now. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a sword with two edges, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Wait a minute. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This Bible is just like a looking glass. Just hold it up to your heart and it'll tell you everything you're thinking. God knows the designs of your heart, mister. He knows the desire of your heart. He knows the imagination of your heart. He knows the plan of your heart today. The heavenly surgeon, the heavenly physician is taking an EKG of your heart right now and mine. If your heart is unclean, your hands will be unclean. If your heart is crooked, your ways will be crooked. If your heart is wrong, your conduct will be wrong. You see, sins are committed in the heart. Jesus said, if a man looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery already in his heart. I repeat, sins are committed in the heart. No wonder the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It won't do any good to hide God's word in your head if it's not in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Man sins in his heart. I declare unto you this morning, before a man steals with his hand, he steals in his heart. Before a man lies with his lips, he lies in his heart. Before a man kills with a gun, he kills in his heart. There's a country and western song that I hear occasionally. The name of it is, my heart has a mind of its own. Have you heard that? That's quite a song. And it's true. Your heart does have a mind of its own. But because your heart is deceitful, and I gave you God's word on that, didn't I? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Because your heart and mine are deceitful, let me help you this morning. Your heart can make you think that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Because your heart is deceitful, your heart can lead you to commit sin and make you believe it's okay. That God's just smiling on it. Or maybe God's turned his head and he doesn't even see it. Because the heart is deceitful. Because your heart is deceitful, your heart will tempt you to neglect your Christian duties and make you believe that the preacher's just a little bit overbearing. He just demands too much of his members. Let me set the record straight. I don't demand anything of you. But God does. Don't look now, but your heart's showing what kind of life you're living. Your heart is so deceitful, beloved, that it can entice you to miss church and make you feel justified in doing so. This afternoon, the mind that your heart has will say to your heart, "Now look, let's reason this thing out. You know you haven't been over to see the folks lately. And the folks are getting old. And you ought to go over there tonight because they may not be here next Sunday." The mind speaks to the heart. And the mind will say to your heart this afternoon, "Now you know it's a hard week ahead of you and you've got to get up early in the morning, get the children off to school and get to work, slave at the salt mine all day. You better not go to church tonight. Besides all that, the preacher's just talking about Daniel. You know more about Daniel than he does. No need for you to go tonight." Your heart is so deceptive that it can tell you that and make you feel justified in staying home tonight. Your heart is so deceptive it can cause you to flirt with the world and make you believe it's all right because everybody else is doing it. Go ahead. Have your extracurricular activities away from home. Everybody else is doing it. That's the mind, unregenerate, speaking to the heart, making you believe that everybody's doing it, therefore it's all right for you to do it. Your heart is so deceptive that it can whisper a lie into your ear and make you believe it's the truth. Your heart is so deceptive that it can substitute something for your salvation and make you think it's real. Don't look now, but your heart is showing the kind of life you're living. In view of all of this, we must measure our conduct not by what our heart thinks, but by what the Bible says. Because the heart is deceitful, deceptive. Who can know it? Your heart is so deceptive that it can get you to invest your money that you ought to be putting in church, in a home or a car or clothes or anything else, and make you feel justified in doing it. That's how deceptive the heart is. Jesus said, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart." Don't look now, but your heart is showing the kind of life you're living. If your heart is hard, the Spirit will melt it. If your heart is unclean, the blood will cleanse it. If your heart is sad, God will make it glad. If your heart is rebellious, the gospel will conquer it. If your heart is darkened, the Bible will enlighten it. If your heart is trembling, faith will stabilize it. If your heart is weak, hope will strengthen it. If your heart is fearful, love will make it brave. How about your heart? Don't look now, but your heart is showing the kind of life that you're living. Don't look now, but your heart is showing where you'll spend eternity. You see, the way a man lives governs the way he dies. And the way a man dies governs where he spends eternity. And the Bible is clear. The Bible speaks of heaven and the Bible speaks of hell. And hear me when I say it, mister. Your heart is either going to lead you to heaven or lead you to hell. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The determining factor of your eternal salvation is your heart. Don't look now, but your heart is showing where you're going to spend eternity. Our prayer ought to be this morning, dear Lord, give me a new heart, not a transplanted heart. You see, I don't want Noah's heart. If I had Noah's heart, I might go out and get drunk this morning. He did. I don't want Abraham's heart. If I had Abraham's heart, I might go out and lie. He did. I don't want Moses' heart. If I had Moses' heart, I might go out and kill me an Egyptian or two. He did. I don't want Saul's heart. If I had his heart, I might be prone to be too proud. I don't want Peter's heart. I might go out and start cussing. Lord, I don't want a transplanted heart. I want a new heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to love everybody in my heart. Lord, I want to be more humble in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be more humble in my heart. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus in my heart. Don't look now, but your heart is showing. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, this morning, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would search into every heart here today. We don't know the hearts of men. Father, we don't even know our own hearts at times. Deceitful, deceptive, despised, despicable, degraded, sinful, lustful, unclean, impure, dirty, and filthy. Dear Lord, give me a new heart. Dear God, I pray this morning that all of us would want to be Christians in our hearts. All of us would want to love everybody in our hearts. All of us would want to be more humble in our hearts. All of us would want to be like Jesus in our hearts. In His name we pray.